is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Smooth Tongues for a Rough Beast. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is the Statler Brothers with The Old Rugged Cross, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old
somebody on the West Coast. Of course, they had Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller got his start, you see. He didn't have a lot of money at the time, but he started a church and an old drive-in theater. People would drive in and listened to him preaching on the old loudspeaker at the drive-in theater. And suddenly a man named Billy Graham, who was wildly popular, because Billy Graham had been puffed up by William Randolph Hearst in his national chain of newspapers of the Illuminati. And William Randolph Hearst, who was a Roman Catholic, get it? A Roman Catholic, said, everybody needs to go listen to Billy Graham. Boy, they went in droves, Catholics and Protestants alike. But then Billy Graham said, everybody needs to listen to Robert Schuller. He's a wonderful preacher. Go to hear him. Pretty soon he was bringing in so much money, Robert Schuller, 33rd degree Mason, that he was able to set up his crystal cathedral. The Roman Catholics, under William Randolph Hearst of the Illuminati, and their newspaper empire set up Billy Graham. He helped set up Robert Schuller. But to build his crystal cathedral, he had to get approval from the Rome. He flew to Rome to see the Pope, and it was blessed. And there's a picture in the crystal cathedral. But that's not all. Just a few years ago, they unveiled a great statue of the religious idols that Robert Schuller says are the greatest religious leaders. You can go see it when you visit the crystal cathedral with its triangle-shaped glass. And it's a statue of Billy Graham. It's a statue that combines also Bishop Fulton J. Sheen of the Catholic Church. And he is giving a hand sign. I'm not even going to tell you what it is, friends. A hand sign that is a Masonic hand sign. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. Probably, other than the Pope, the best-known Catholic teacher of the 20th century in America and the world. He had a national TV program back in the 50s. He's passed away now. But Schuller said he was, you know, I idolized this man, learned so much from him. And, of course, there's the statue of Schuller. He's such a prideful egomaniac that he wanted his own statue. These are the three idols of religion. And all of them got their start from the Catholic Church, as Pat Robertson got his start from the Knights of Malta. And then Jim and Tammy Faye Baker were told, you need to help others get started in this too that we put in power. Paul and Jan Crouch in Florida. And so the Bakers flew for a while and went down to Santa Ana, California, Channel 40 there. And they helped Paul and Jan Crouch, who now have the most powerful Christian network, almost 2,000 television stations around the world. And it was the Bakers who helped set it up with them. All four of them worked together to get an audience going there. But Paul Crouch tells about the time when they needed more money. And I guess they didn't want it to go on the public record who was funding it all. He said, you know, we had just 15 minutes to get $40,000 to the bank, or they would foreclose on our television station. And 15 minutes, I didn't know what I was going to do. And a little old man came in with a bag. He said, I've been told to give this to you. And he put it on my desk, and he walked out. Paul Crouch said, I don't know who that man was. I still don't know to this day. But I opened up the sack, the brown paper sack, and there was exactly $40,000 in it. I rushed down to the bank and got there right in time. Oh, yes, miracles occur. Pat Robertson told Robert Tilton. Oh, yes, he helped Robert Tilton get going. And in a television interview with Robert Tilton, the old word of faith, you know, give me 1,000 and God will give you back 10,000 men. Pat Robertson talked about the miracle of getting Channel 33 given to him. Miracles just galore happened to these people of money. Jim and Tammy Faye Baker then, after they got Paul and Jan Crouch going, they went back to South Carolina, and their PTL network got even bigger. So now we have three Christian networks getting huge in the world. But then, being a queer and being a guy who liked to abuse women in sexual kinky ways, Jim Baker got in trouble because he got Jessica Hahn, did terrible, wicked things to her, he and his homosexual friend. And Jim Baker is one of the biggest homos in the world, believe me. But he liked to do kinky things to women, just like Clinton and other homosexuals do. And Jessica Hahn was paid $265,000 to shut her mouth about it, but it still got out. And his empire fell. And who did he end up signing it over to? Jerry Falwell. And then suddenly it was discovered that Jerry Falwell said, well, I think I'm going to sign it over to Pat Robertson. Who was telling these men to do these things? I've done some research, and let me tell you something, friends. Pat Robertson's man, Clark, his treasurer, went down and tried to revive PTL Club after Jim and Tammy Faye Baker failed, but he couldn't get it going again. Jerry Falwell tried and failed. The Illuminati were disgusted. They said, well, that's, you know, basically it. We can't get this going again. And so it went into receivership. They foreclosed on it. Friend, I did some checking, and I found out that after they foreclosed on it, it was found out that there was somebody behind the scenes that owned the whole thing all the time. Was it Jim Baker? No. Was it Jerry Falwell? No. Was it Mr. Clark, the treasurer of the 700 Club that Pat Robertson had sent over there to take over for Walt? No. PTL Network was owned by an Orthodox Jew from Canada. Can you believe that? When it went bankrupt, went into receivership, turns out all the property and everything was owned by a Jewish man. And I would not be surprised if that man had ties to Bronfman, head of the World Jewish Congress, also owner of Seagram's Distilleries, the biggest whiskey and liquor maker in the whole world. And his son, of course, the younger Bronfman, has one of the biggest Hollywood empires in the world, making movies. Ah, now we're back to Mel Gibson again. And by the way, Mel Gibson, talking about the Illuminati and Mr. Bronfman and the World Jewish Committee, you think the Jews really do hate Mel Gibson? Was it sort of a planned Hegelian dialectic thing that they gave such publicity to his movie? Do you think there might be a little funny thing going on when you see that the logo or symbol of Icon, that means Idol Productions, Idol Icon Productions, owned by Mel Gibson, that's the name of his company. And what is its symbol? An all-seeing eye. Wow. The all-seeing eye of the Illuminati, Icon Productions, Mel Gibson. And by the way, you know who was the translator who put the words of the gospel, supposedly, into Aramaic? Naturally, a Jesuit priest. The Jesuits, of course, are connected with high-level Jews. Isn't it amazing that PTL Club turned out to have been owned all the time by a Canadian Orthodox Jew? Isn't it amazing the connections between Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Paul Crouch, the same people set them all up in power? And Robert Shuler and Billy Graham, they're all in it together, friends. And now, we're going to begin looking at some of the actual quotes from these people. Are they really pro-Catholic? Jack Van Impe, he used to be a Protestant. But he almost went bankrupt and he needed money. He suddenly decided he wouldn't be a Protestant anymore. And then, presto, voila, sesame, as the devil would call it. Wow. Abracadabra, as the witches would say. He's on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And he's telling everybody the apparitions of Mary are true. And Pope John Paul II is a great prophet of God. The last day's prophet of God, in fact. And I'm just so pleased to bring you the new catechism, which I believe in. He's a Catholic. Now, Jack Van Impe explains to everybody that he was raised, born and raised in Belgium. He was raised as a Catholic. Then he left the faith to become a Protestant. But now he's returned. He's not a Catholic or a Protestant. I'm just a Christian, he says. But of course, I believe the Pope is the world's greatest religious leader. Well, isn't that what Billy Graham says? And doesn't George W. Bush proclaim what a great man the Pope is? And didn't George W. Bush go to Israel and put on his little Yarmulke skull cap and be toured there by Ariel Sharon? What's going on? The Jews, high-level rabbis, the Catholic Jesuits, and the Knights of Malta, and all of these people together, Dr. David Allen Lewis of Assembly of God, Robert Schuller of the Reformed Church, Billy Graham, a Baptist, and then there's Benny Hinn. He said, I was born in Israel. Benny Hinn said, you know, I got an audience with the Pope. It was the greatest day of my life. Wow. They're all in it together. One of the top leaders of the charismatic world today is a man named Rick Joyner. Well, what an appropriate name. He has joined the Catholic organization known as the Knights of Malta. Wow. Then we have James Dobson. You'll never hear him knocking the Catholic Church. Did you know he was honored at that same Catholic university in Steubenville, Ohio, as was Billy Graham? James Dobson. No wonder one of the most frequent guests on the Dobson Family in Focus, or Focus on the Family program, one of the most popular guests he's ever had, a frequent guest, is a man named Bill Bennett, who, of course, is a Catholic. And Bill Bennett, by the way, is a guy who recently was exposed for blowing millions of dollars in Las Vegas at the casinos in gambling. Ah, real good Catholic there, isn't he? And James Dobson promoted the man all the way. You know, when the Pope of Rome came to the United States, did you know who was on the up there on the dais with him? Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell. They're all in it together. I'm going to take you to the voice of several top Christian leaders, and you'll hear in their own words of their apostasy and how they are now in total alliance with the Catholic Church and its false doctrines and teachings. We want to start off with Jack Van Impe. You know, Jack Van Impe is one of the most popular prophecy teachers in the world today. He's on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I must tell you, some years ago, when I first began in ministry, I wrote a book called New Age Cults and Religions. And Jack and Rexella thought it was a great book. And that this was, of course, before they went into apostasy. And Jack and his people wrote me and wanted to offer my book to their audience. And they sold many thousands of copies of my book. Well, I then discovered to my sadness that they had gone into apostasy and were joining hands with the Pope of Rome. And I felt obligated to expose that. It broke my heart when I did. Well, Jack wrote me a letter, and boy, was it a hot letter. And basically what it said in so many words was, well, you shouldn't have said anything, Tex, negative about my program because and what I'm doing with the Catholic Church, because now we're going to cut you off. We're not going to offer your book anymore. And you know, after that, he never offered any of our books again. Well, I understood that. Friends, it cost. Jesus said, count the cost. It hurt our ministry financially, but you'll never know how many blessings I got by telling the truth. Here is Jack Van Impe in his own words on Trinity Broadcasting Network. I have this on video, but here's the audio of Jack talking about how he has become, well, let's just face it, he is now a believer in Roman Catholicism and the Pope of Rome. Here is Jack Van Impe.
In my lifetime, I used to use Haley's Pocket Handbook and the Two Babylons by Hyslop to knock my brothers and sisters in other denominations. And then the Spirit of God started to do something in my heart about 10 years ago. And I'm a different man. And I, just in the last 4 weeks, have read 25 volumes on the Catholic Church, the Pope. And here are just a few of them. So you know what I'm talking about. So don't write and say, hey, you don't know what you're talking about, and try to correct me, because I know everything there is to know about Christianity, Catholicism, Protestantism. I used to be an opponent and work against other brothers and sisters in Christ, but this book, the Catechism, really opened my eyes. I used to hear it said that Catholics were not allowed to read the Bible. In the Catechism, this new one, there are 7,000 to 10,000 Bible verses, and everything this Pope says, even his book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, is backed by the Word of God. And I'm going to say some things that'll shock you today. 10 years ago, when I started my quest for unity, I lost all my support. The churches cut me off. I faced bankruptcy. But God brought us back. I'm willing to pay any price even if I had to go off the air again, to take the stand I'm going to take today on my love for my brothers and sisters in the Catholic and all the different Protestant churches.
I know.
This Pope loves people.
Startling revelations, Pope John Paul II. Now, Pope John Paul II was not the first to speak about ecumenicalism and unity. Actually, Pope John the 23rd was the first to speak about it. But as you well know, this Pope continues the theme so very, very much. In fact, we cannot remain separated. This is his cry. And from the Vatican magazine, that they may all be one. Now, inside of this magazine, he carries on the theme, this task I cannot carry out by myself. And he is saying this, of course, to his cardinals.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.